are holding our membees.
Membees.
Yep. The Gemara's discussion is, what bracha do we make on Pass? Haba Abakisnin. Good morning, good morning. What bracha do we make on Pass of Abakisnin? And the Gemara says that, the Gemara said that he heard, this was...
How would you define Pass of Abakisnin?
Well, there's three ways to define it in the Shulchan Aruch. One way, the way Rashi defines it is like a Danish. It's like a dough that is mixed with a lot of sugars, and it's not like a straight dough, like a, but it's a lot like a sweet dough, and then it's filled with nuts and other...
That's Rashi, right?
Yeah. Some say pretzels. And so if you eat enough that other people are kaveh asuda on it, then you have to make a bracha. So Rabbi Yehuda was, he heard the son of a different Rabbi Yehuda making a bracha, a hamoitzi on it. He says, what are you doing? He says, I pass on like Ramayna, that pass of Abakistin, who says in the name of a third Rabbi Yehuda, who says that pass of Abakistin, you say hamoitzi on it. And don't we pass on like that? He says, no, we don't pass on like that. So that's what we got to yesterday. We're about 12, 13 lines down, Membezim and Aleph. Amrile, v'hamarhu d'amr mishmei d'shmul lachmaniot. You were the one who said that these breads, ma'arvin bohen, now these Rashi explains that these breads are the sweet breads, and what Rashi actually says is mashma more of a regular bread, but Tosis asks on him, then aren't those lachmaniot the ones that you described in ancient French or Arabic, regular bread? Because, so Taisus therefore says that it means, Taisus says it means more of these, like, these breads that are filled with, like, hamantaschen type of things. And he says that we eat them on Purim. So, either or, it's one of the passive Abakistans. And didn't you say that you could use them, if you say hamaitzi on them? And the Gemara says that's different. There you were kaveh your suda on it.
So, and how do you define kaveh?
So you eat as much
you eat, or you eat it as a suda. What if you?
You eat the amount that people eat for a suda.
So it's not
You personally. It's the amount that people eat for a suda.
So if you want to skip lunch and only eat a donut like that, you only make a mazon.
Yes. Problem is that 2-4 eggs worth is not that much. Especially according to the Rabbi Bodner book. You know, already by 2 Danishes you're bordering on having to say hamotzi. So it's not simple, that's for sure. So says the Gemara. So therefore, it would depend on how much you eat. And like I said, pancakes, sometimes a breakfast of pancakes, you think you get away without washing. And the reality is...
That's a lot.
Yeah, you couldn't... I don't remember the numbers back when I did the research on it. But it's quite low. I don't remember if it was 4 big pancakes...
And kaveh asuda has nothing to do with the time of the day.
Right.
So it doesn't make it. It could be in the middle of the afternoon, mm-hmm. or in the yep. middle of the night, or correct. Whatever it is.
Yeah. And what you could do is you could have, like, say, one donut, and then say, oh, I want another donut, and another donut. So you never have to say hamaitzi, but then you will have to bench. Okay, Rav Papa ikloy lebei Rav Huna braid Rav Nassan. Rav Papa visited Rav Huna braid Rav Nassan. Basar degamri suda asayhu. This is a new halacha. And after they finished their suda, they brought him out some desserts. Ay suda kemayhu miti lemeichel. They brought him out some more food. He finished his suda already. They were already schmoozing. Shakul Rav Papa v'kachol. Rav Papa took it and started to eat. Amilei lesovel amar gomar osim lechol. Don't you agree? Do you not hold? That if you finish your suda, it is prohibited for you to eat. You have to bench. Now, the way Rashi says it, actually, was a bit bothersome. Because the way Rashi says it was, you have to say Birkas Hamazon, and then you have to go ahead and make another Bracha Rishayna. Say Birkas Hamazon, and then make another Bracha Rishayna.
The me go back to Kaveh Suda. So the amount you eat, is it the amount of bread you eat or the amount of food you eat?
Excellent question. There is a machlekes hapriskim about that, and I know Rav Moshe is machmer and says that it's anything. You can add up the other stuff.
So when they bring you, let's say, on the plane, a meal with a mazonos roll.
Oh, that's for sure.
Then you got to wash.
That's
you
what eat the whole meal. One of the what we call the fallacy of the mazonos roll. There's almost no such thing. Yep. Yeah, it's a good point. If you go ahead, you eat that mazonos roll, and you have the egg or the or other unidentifiable foods there. So then, you definitely have to wash. So Rav Papa Ikloy Lebe Rav Huna Breda Rav Nassan Basar De Gamri Suda Saihu. After he finished his Suda, they brought him more food and he took it without making a bracha. So he says, why didn't you make a bracha? Didn't you finish your meal? Rashi says, you have to make a Birkas Hamazon. And, sorry, I didn't have my phone on me. You have to bake a Birkas Hamazon. And you have to go ahead and make another bracha Rishayna. Because since you were Gomar, since you finished the Suda, you basically have wiped out the previous Bracha Rishayna. Now, I'm not sure why you have to go ahead at this point and say a Birkas HaMazon. Why can't they just say another Bracha Rishayna? I remember something in the Halacha, but do they speak about it on the bottom? I'm not sure why you should have to make another Bracha Rishayna. Just make a Birkas HaMazon. Sorry, don't make a Birkas HaMazon. Just make another Bracha Rishayna. But Akopanim, you do, according to what's in front of, according to Rashi over here, you do have to make another Bracha, Birkas HaMazon. They do have asking why I have to make a Birkas HaMazon?
They don't ask, they just say why. Because he has to, he says, some understand Rashi mean that he must first recite Birkas HaMazon, so since diversion of attention from the meal represents an acceptance upon himself of the requirement to recite.
Really? That's a chiddush. I was wondering about that. Who says that?
Rashba.
Rashba, all right. And it's a chiddush.
Rabbi Yosef.
Yosef Karo?
Pevush Rashbats.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's a chiddush. I was thinking to explain Rashi like that. Like, you know, when you go ahead and you say, okay, let's finish, and then, all right, and now I'm going to bench. So you have to go ahead and bench. I think, but it's a big here. So, do they? What's the halacha?
It brings down another opinion that says the same thing. But Rashi might mean that just as one may not interrupt between a blessing and
right.
the act which follows,
nah, really?
So too he may not interrupt the act, the eating, and the blessing which follows.
It's a very big chiddush. Also, it doesn't say anything about I'm finished. I can understand like if he washed his hands, like if for he washed his hands to bench. He did mayim achronim. Then you shouldn't talk, you shouldn't interrupt. But Gomar Sudase is not mashma. Gomar Sudase is mashma. They were like, you know, they cleared away the chalim plate, and now we're sitting and schmoozing.
It brings down Rashi, the chulin, that says you just have to make a bracha right. Rishona.
Okay, fine, that's what
but
I...
You could be sitting and schmoozing for 2 hours.
Right.
But the meals have been over for two
right,
hours.
Right, exactly. But does that... No, so we're wondering, so why do you have to bench first? And then wash again.
Your meal's been over for 2 hours.
I know. But just bench. Just wash again.
Why does benching have to?
Why do you have to bench and then wash again and then bench again? How can I just wash it? I understand how my first bracha has expired. Because I put in my head, that's it, I'm finished. So my first bracha expired. But I have to bench? Like, what's making me bench right now before I wash again?
If you understand that your first bracha has expired, then why don't you understand that something has to go along with that first bracha that now expires?
I'll do it in 5 minutes. My first, I'm going to bench, and it will... Imagine I say I'm going to schmooze now for 5 minutes, or I'm going to eat now for 5 minutes. It's not going to affect that first bracha. That first bracha is going to have a benching at the end in 5 minutes. I'm either going to schmooze now, or I'm going to wash and eat now.
But you're putting something in the middle that wasn't covered.
No. So I'll wash. So I'm it's like I'll have two bracha rishaynas, and the benching will cover everything.
Gotcha.
So he's saying it's because it's as if I start. It's as if I like. He's saying it's like I wash my machrim. It's a big chiddush. But do they say what lahalacha is?
No, they don't say.
Some of them here. Fine. Very interesting.
They bring down both.
Right. Okay. Sure. All right. I have to check it up afterwards. I'm pretty sure that we paskin, that you just have to, that you can make another bracha rishayna. But okay, so Rav Papa took it and he ate it. He says, "Amar lo sovel amar gomer, gomer, you can't eat it anymore." So Amar lo who saw like itmar. Back in the day, they used to take away the table. The table was like a foldable table, but after they finished eating, they took away the table. So he said, "It wasn't. You're right. We did finish eating, and that's it. I finished my challenge, but the table was still here, and therefore, since." And the table or the food, we didn't clear the table yet. So whatever clearing the table in that society is, in fact, Rashi points out even the food was still on the table. So therefore, that's when it's usher to eat. If the table was cleared or they took away the table, but in this case where the food or the table was still around, we did not yet expire, we did not yet end the first bracha. Rabba v'Rev Zera ikloi l'bei Reish Galusa. Rabba and Rev Zera visited the Reish Galusa's house. L'basa de sliku. After taka, mikamayu, taka is a table, sliku is they took it away. L'basa is after. After they took away the table, mikamayu, from in front of them, they sent them another dessert, shadulei ristina. Rashi gives an old French word for ristina. Aministrostian. So, something... basically, that sounds like that. They sent them some dessert. Mibereish kalusa. Rava, and if they, our school gives an old word, I don't know where they get it from. Maybe they knew old French. Rava, mibereish kalusa. Rava achel, v'Rav Zera le achel. Rava ate it, and Rav Zera did not eat it. Amar le, he says, now here, what's the pshat? Up to now, we were saying because the table wasn't taken away. But in this case, the table was taken away. If the table was taken away, it is prohibited to eat anymore based on your first bracha.
You mean until you bench.
Until you, exactly. Either, yeah, until you bench and make another new bracha. Amar le, anan, ataka deresh kalusa samchinan. So he said, if you're sitting in your own house and the table's taken away, so you're in charge, so then you know that when your table is taken away, that's it. There's no more food. And suddenly you're like, oh, you know what? Let's eat again. So then the taking away of the table is a signal that you have expired your first bracha and you are not going to eat anymore. And therefore it would be prohibited to eat anymore based on your first bracha. And according to Rashi, you'd have to make benching first and then make a new bracha. But we are eating in the Reish Galusa's house. The siluk that he did to our table is nothing to do with our das. Because... we are not in charge. If we didn't know, maybe he would bring out more jello. Maybe he would bring out something. Maybe so. Therefore, the siluk is not necessarily a siluk of. It doesn't show anything about our das. We didn't expire our first bracha because the taking away the table. For all you know, his minig is to bring out more food after this. So since we're not in charge, and we're eating in his house. Now, I don't think this is talking about a Reish. It could be it's Dafka the Reish Galusa where we want to do his will. Because again, the Reish Galusa is a very powerful person, and maybe, so in that case, we subjugate ourselves to his will. But maybe eating by a regular person, because the story before also was by a regular person, was where Papa eating by somebody's house. So in your own house, if you say, okay, let's get to the Mishnah about your own house.
Who's the boss of the food?
All right, it's a good question. Wives might be different. Well, let's get to the Mishnah because the halacha is slightly different. Amarav harakel b'shemen. If somebody generally washes his hands with oil, you know, he does a purel after the meal. So shemen ma'akvai. Until he does that, the shemen is ma'akiv. That even if he gamar, even if he was finished his bracha and he took away the table, the kozman, he didn't put the oil on his hands. He has not finished his first bracha, and he can continue to eat based on his first bracha.
That's like my
it's a similar idea to what we do. Yeah. Amar Vashi ki havin be Rav Kahana amalan ki goin anan de regalinon be mishcha ma'akvalan. We who generally have oil is ma'akev. V'les hilchas kochal hanishmaite. However, the halacha is not like any of these. These laws that we just said, these memories that we just said, the siyum of the suda, finishing the suda, is not dependent on finishing, and not dependent on taking away the suda, on taking away the table, and not depending on the oil. It's dependent on Mayim Achreinim Ela Kihada Amar Rav Chia Bar Ashi Amar Rav Sholish Tekifasin. There are three things that should happen back to back. Takef L'smicha, right after doing smicha on the carbon, one should shecht it, shechita. Takef L'geula, right after saying Goal Yisrael and davening should be tefila, should be Shemana Esrei. And takef L'Natilas Yadayim, and right after washing one's hands, Mayim Achreinim for Brikas HaMazon, then he should not eat anything, he should bench right away. We say another thing, take of the Talmid Chachamim, which this one means next to the Talmid Chachamim, or take of the Talmid Chachamim, is bracha, gets a bracha, shenemer vayivarechini Hashem biglalecha, as it says by Yosef, that or by Yaakov. This is by Lavan. Lavan to Yaakov. Hashem benched us, gave us a bracha because of you. And Ibai Yisrael Mehachar, alternatively, Shenemar, Vivarach Hashem is based on Mitzri Biglal Yosef. Or Hashem gave a bracha to the Potiphar's house because of Yosef. So this is how we paskin that until you actually do. There is. From now on, I should really look up the halachas beforehand. If I remember correctly, if a person says in his mind, I am not eating anymore, and he knows that he said that in his mind, so he was gomar sudase in his mind. The Mishnah Brura says, the Mishnah Brura says that you should be machmer not to eat anymore. Now, there are two dais brought down, if I remember correctly. That's why it's only a chumrah. Because some say until you actually go ahead and wash my machrenim, you don't have to, it's not considered a problem. But Mr. Brewer says, but what happens if you know? I know for sure. I said in my mind, I'm not eating anymore. And then suddenly, ta-da, happy birthday. Here's a special surprise cake. So now what? If I remember correctly, Mr. Brewer says you should be machmer.
So how do we act at a wedding where you wash and have a big shmorg and then stop for sure for the chuppah, which could be a long time, an hour and a half sometimes.
Right.
Right? And then you know you're going to continue, but at the same time, should you follow the chumra? And should you actually get other people in bench or bench?
No, because there, you know you're going to eat anymore.
But it could be a super long break.
It could be, but it's you're intending on eating more. You're intending anymore. But not many people wash by that first meal. But you're saying, let's say...
It's out. I mean, you could wash.
Yeah, okay, then you don't have to... You,
the smart ones do.
Yeah, so then you can go ahead and you're allowed to continue the meal, yeah. First of all, the 72 minutes is a minimum. The real shear is whether or not I'm hungry. 72 minutes is a minimum, so you could not be hungry. I'm not hungry after 72 minutes of a good meal. That's A. And second of all, if you continuously eat a little bit, like you have, then it's not a problem. Then you won't lose it. But if one does do Mayim Acharonim, that's certainly considered the end of a meal. And to say Havlan of Anavarech, let us bench. If a person says, let us bench, then I think we're machmer also. Should I run, get a Mishnah Brura? Okay, Mishnah Brura after shir today, because every day I forget in the afternoon, I will go and get a full Mishnah Brura and put them over here, bring another. But I'm pretty sure that's where the Mishnah Brura comes out. Okay.
How come we don't say Lavan's Bracha?
What do you mean, Lavan's Bracha?
Well, after the Talmid Chachamim, we should say Berachin Hashem, God bless our house. If you invite a Talmid Chachamim to your house, you should say Berachin Hashem.
No, I think this is saying it is a past tense.
No, but we should do it today. He's showing that this follows. Why don't we do it today?
But I'm not sure what you want. I'm not sure what you mean. Is love and talking.
When he
talking.
Says, says that there's a bracha,
you
say when you...
No.
That's what he says.
Take out the Talmid Chachamim, bracha.
Here, look, this is what he said.
One who befriends Avraham brings immediate blessing. Right?
Okay, so we should say that bracha.
No, you don't make a... No, it doesn't mean you make a bracha. No, it doesn't mean that. That's not what it means by bracha, by lavan either. What it means is that a bracha happened. That lavan said, whoa, Look how much good is happening to the house.
Okay, I understand that. But
so what bracha do you want?
When we wash our hands, so Rabbanah made a bracha there. This is another situation where we can make a bracha. Why shouldn't we take advantage of that and make a bracha?
What bracha do you want to make?
Baruch Hashem, God's blessing our house.
No.
We invited the Talmud Chacham here.
What bracha do you want? You want me to say something? I don't understand your question. You want me to say something?
I want to be able to say that bracha when a Talmud Chacham comes into my house.
There's no bracha here. Lavan didn't say a bracha.
Yeah, he blessed them.
No, he didn't. No, no, no. No, Yevarcheni Hashem means... Exactly, it was an observation. This is after the 20 years. This is after the 14 years or whatever it was. So, and Lavan is telling Yaakov, you should know that ever since you've been here, we've had an amazing time in the house.
So we don't make
it never ran out of
so
sugar.
But that's something that follows, and we're talking about brachas here.
Because it uses the Shoyrish Beis Reish Chav. I mean, it has nothing.
We use Lavan's brachas in other instances too.
He didn't make a bracha here.
He's just stating facts.
Right.
Why don't we say that fact?
You could.
Okay.
I had somebody sleep in my bed because the guy was a Talmud Chacham here. He slept in my bed. I had a great time that day in my house. It was amazing. Okay. Beirach, I'm saying you're allowed to make an observable fact. That's okay. Beirach al hayayin shelefnei hamazon. If somebody makes a bracha on wine before the mazon, which is what we do, you drink a cup of kiddush. Exactly. Say beirach b'yagavin. Patar hayayin shel achar hamazon. That will cover wine after the meal as well. If a person finishes the meal, that will cover wine. By the way, there is a second bracha to make called, if a person has a different type of wine that's better, called a toiva hametiv.
Over here it means...
But it means the hakafet
one.
No, it means before you bench, but after the meal.
What here is off meal mean?
It means like you're sitting and schmoozing.
Our child says with dessert.
Yeah, dessert. So after the meal... Well, there is the fact that there's no what
after the main course.
Yeah, after the main course, but it's same. But there is a halachic significance in the fact that it's at this point the Gemara understands it that it is considered that it's not really coming to drink. It's not like you're drinking an orange juice. It's more of like
dessert wine.
Yeah, it's like you're coming to make it soak. It says no. The Gemara says that it's coming. It's not to drink. It's more like a chash of a thing. Okay. Beirach ala parperas shelefnei hamazon. If somebody makes a bracha on parperas, Rashi says parperas are like foods that are there, like fish and chicken and things like that. So this is not the main course. This is more like the appetizer course.
And washing for bread would not cover it?
So, well, Beirach al parperas shelefnei hamazon, patar parperas shel achar hamazon, the washing for bread will cover it, but at this point, either you're not eating bread at the meal, or...
Well, this is not considered part of the meal.
Or it was before the meal, right.
No, even the one after is not considered part of the meal. In other words, why wouldn't the washing before the meal cover it?
Maybe the order is important.
I don't think... The way Rashi says it is that they used to bring people parperas, which is like, you know, the first course, the appetizer course, which was made of fish and chicken and things like that, I doubt, together. It's probably oi chicken. And afterwards, they would bring a table, and after the Gemara of the Suda, they would go ahead and they would sit and have some sort of dessert, also of some sort of parperas, some sort of parperas. But this one, Rashi says, was more of a mezoinos parperas, sort of like a, you know, small pastries, and with wine.
Lechem was after the parperas.
That's what it sounds like from this Rashi, which would answer your question of why didn't the bread cover it.
No, no, I'm asking in reference to the second one.
Well, yeah.
In other words, Why even consider that?
Why is the first preparis covering the second preparis?
Right. Why not just? I guess it must not be part of the meal, just like you have to have fruit or something like that. So
okay.
You got to make a separate bracha.
Right.
One might think you'd make a separate bracha also on the preparis.
Right. Oh, so that would actually work out because we had the Mishnah before that said that things that come after the meal are not covered by the bread.
Right.
That's what I remember. Yeah.
That's
okay.
Probably what the case is right over here.
Okay, that would work out. So that's Memal from a base on the bottom over there. It says things that come after the meal did not help. Okay. So, but we don't pass like this. I think the reason why we don't pass like this is because we hold that everything is during the meal. We don't have this after the meal anymore. I'm remembering now, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. We don't have this after the meal situation anymore. That's why we're not used to this. Bread covers everything. So pater se parperes shel achar mazon. Berach al hapas, if somebody makes a berach on the pas, pater se parperes, then the bread would cover the parperes, but al parperes, so if he does have fish and chicken and other such pastries during the meal, then it's covered with the bread. But al parperes, le pater se pas, if a person makes a berach on the parperes, it's not going to cover the bread. Beishamay emrim afle maise kedera. It also will not cover any maise kedera. Maise kedera, Rashi in this case says, it's some sort of like cut up wheat pieces, so it could be some sort of like oatmeal porridge. If they only sat down to eat together, to the exclusion of actually leaning down to eat together, like back in the day when they used to lean, then every single person makes a bracha by himself. It's not as if they're eating together, because they don't look too comfortable, they didn't get into the regular eating position. But once they lean together, so they are all eating together, then one person could make a bracha for all of them. If wine comes to them during the meal, every single person makes a bracha by himself. The Gemara is going to say why. But if the wine comes to them for after the meal, the dessert wine, then one person makes a bracha for all of them. Vahu, that person who was zoicha to make the bracha for all of them, he gets to make the bracha on al hamugmar, omer al hamugmar. After the meal, they used to put some, you know, stuff in the middle of the circle of people eating, and they used to put some like a coal plate and put some spices on it, and they used to sit there and enjoy whatever spices that they had, legal or illegal, and used to make a bracha on it, and whoever was zeichet to make the bracha on the wine was zeichet to make a bracha on the subsequent spices. It could be it was opium based or
He says here the incense.
Incense, whatever they used to have. I didn't back then. Well, I'm sure everything was legal. They didn't restrict these things till recently, but whatever it was, they used to sit around this smoking pit of smoking incense. I can't imagine it was just plain mint. Maybe it was. I mean, you kind of smell the mint and then you go on with life. It's not like you sit there for... All right. So, I don't know. They went to Walmart and they got different candles that said apple, blueberry, and things like that. Maybe. And even though the mugmar was brought after the suda, nevertheless, it's still connected to the Suda, and therefore the person who is Zoycha to say a bracha on the wine is Zoycha to say the bracha on the Mugmar. Just as an aside, it is brought down in the Rambam in several, different spices and things like that, that definitely affect things. It makes you besimcha. Makes you think. People say that it was marijuana and things like that. But it's more probably it was more of an opium type of thing. Because
this is brought down as a halacha, or this was a halacha that.
I mean, you could be Michael, but yeah, it's the same way a kohen gets the bench first. They give the rights. The one who has the one who gave he could be Michael. You could say Bershus HaKohanim and give it to somebody else. But the one who has the rights to it is the one who made the bracha on the wine, And the reason is because once you started to make the brachas at the end of the meal, so then you have the rights to all of them at the end of the meal. And this is considered the bracha at the end of the meal. Even though the Mishnah says it's after the meal, it's still considered a bracha at the end of the meal, so he who started to make the brachas gets the rights to finish it. It's the same thing any time we have it. For example, what happens in the middle of a guy gets up there to say the brachas in davening. Who says the next one? Can a guy come and say, I want to say the next of the brachas? No, once one starts, he gets the rights to say the whole thing. And we see that once you start to make somebody who says slichas has the rights to daven that whole day. So, whoever gets the bracha.
Whoever starts.
Yeah. Okay, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. What do you mean by all seven brachas? Mean?
Yeah.
No, there it's split up. I'm saying it could be that the minute it became like they're splitting it up. But so Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rechana Leishanu Ela B'Shabbosis V'Yamim Tevim. This that it says that a wine before the muzzin helps for wine after the muzzin. That's only on Shabbos and Yontif when you usually sit and chill for a while and you'll have wine before and wine after. Since people are kaveya suda with the wine afterwards, so therefore you're intending when you first make kiddush at the beginning, you know that the meal is going to be long and you will end up with a cup of wine as well. But other days of the year, because every kiss that comes in front of you, you have to make another bracha on. Itmar Nami, Amar Rabba Bar Mori, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Loishanu Ela B'Shabbos V'Yamim Tevim. This is only on Shabbos and Yontif. U'Bishah She'Adam Yoytzim Beis Amechas. Or, for example, it's a time that a person personally makes a long suda. For example, he takes a shower, U'Bishah Sakazas Hadam, or he goes ahead and he had bloodletting. So therefore, back in the day, the bloodletting wasn't just a small little bleed. They took out tons of blood, sometimes, leaving you very weak afterwards. So you needed a good suda. So, since at that point you drink wine, but during a regular Tuesday, then you do not expect to have wine, tons of wine during the meal, and memela, you have to make a new bracha on each kais. The Gemara brings two stories. Rabbi Bar Mori ikla lebe Rav Bechol. Rabbi Bar Mori was eating by Rav's house during the week. Chazian, he saw the barich that he made a bracha lefnei hamazon, and he made another bracha al yain. He made a bracha before. He made a bracha during on an appetizing wine, and he made a bracha on a wine at the end of the meal. Amalei Yaisher, you did right. V'cheinam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and so too did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say. Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef iklal be'abaye biyantif, and Chazia and he saw that he made a bracha on each kais. The baruch al kol kasa v'kasa on each kais. Amalei Loisover la'mar la'hada Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Do you not agree to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement? Amalei says nimlechana. What can he do? I personally know that when I drank it, I had no intention of drinking wine during the meal again. But now there was such a good meal or whatever, this has changed my mind. But nimlech means I changed my mind. I know personally that I changed my mind. Ibailahu questions the Gemara. Balahem yain b'toy chamazin. What happens if a person drinks wine during the meal? Ma'u sheyiftar is a yain shela akar mazin. Will it cover the wine after the meal? Im tim salomer perich al yain shelef neha mazin, peitas yain shela akar mazin. Do we say that the reason why the wine before the meal helps for wine after the meal is because both of them, mishim dezel lishtais vezel lishtais, because both of them were coming as an official drinking. I am drinking wine. This is an official, an official drink. Aval hacha, but during the meal, after the meal is to drink, but this is to soak the food. It's just to help the food go down. In other words, I'm not being kaveya myself to drink. When I drink soda during the meal, I am doing the act of drinking, but I'm doing it just to help the meal. I'm not like having a drink. There's something called you go to a bar and you have, I'm having a beer, I'm having a drink. It's different than you take a Coke during a meal when it's just to help the food go down. So do we say that the wine during the meal, which is called lishrais, it's to help the food soak, and it will not potter a lishtois, a wine after the meal. When I'm like sitting there, everything's gone, we're just sitting there schmoozing, and I have wine. So it's an official drinking. Or perhaps there's no difference. And the Gemara brings down that it's a machlekes. Rava Amar Paiter, it does work. Rav Kahana Amar Eina Paiter, it doesn't work. Rav Nachman Amar Paiter, it does work. Rav Shashis Amar Eina Paiter. Rav Huna Rav Yehuda, the Chol Tamid Rav Amri Eina Paiter, it does not work. Ace v'Rava l'Rav Nachman. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if they have a group of people and balehem yayin b'teicham asan and wine comes to them during the meal, each person has to make his own bracha called echad echad mevarech la'atzmai. But if wine comes after the meal la'akar hamazan echad mevarech la'kulam, one person makes a bracha for all of them. So we see that it sounds like it's the same group of people. They made a bracha during the meal. And then, if more wine comes after the meal, then one person makes a bracha for all of them. But it's mashman that one person is making the bracha for all of them. He said, this is what it means. So he says, no, you're misreading the Mishnah. It doesn't mean that wine came to the same group of people again. It means that if wine comes during the meal, and this is what you should do, that's the protocol. And if wine only comes after the meal, and this is the protocol. So there's no proof from the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Berech ala pas patar es apar peres. Ala par peres le patar es apas. If a person makes a bracha on bread, it will cover the par peres, the other parts of the meal, the fish and the chicken. But if a person makes a bracha on the par peres, it will not cover the bread. Beishameh says, now Beishameh's statement is going to be other, the investigation here. Beishameh, it will also afle maisa kedera. It doesn't cover a maisa kedera also. Now, what doesn't cover maisa kedera? It also doesn't cover maisa kedera. Is it? Let's reread the sentence. If a person makes a bracha on pas, it covers the parperis, the fish and the chicken. So now, is Beis Shammah commenting on that? Beis Shammah says, nuh-uh, no it doesn't. And afle maisa kedera. It doesn't even cover a wheat-based food, like some sort of porridge. Or is it going on the seifa? If a person makes a bracha on the parperes, it doesn't cover the bread. And Beis Shammah says, not only doesn't cover bread, it doesn't even cover porridge. So what is he commenting on? Ibailuhu, Beis Shammah a reisha pligi or dilma a seifa pligi? Is Beis Shammah going on the reisha like we spoke out, or on the seifa? Dika'omer tanakama, berech ala pas. This that it's going, you're probably missing a word there, a reisha pligi. A reisha pligi, dika'omer tanakama, berech ala pas. This that the Tanakhama said that if a person makes a bracha on bread, it works to cover fish and chicken. And the Tanakhama holds, and certainly it's going to cover a mezonos based food. And on that, Beishamai comes along and says, no, not only will it not cover a fish and chicken meat part of the meal, but even a mezonos based thing that is not eaten with bread, it also will not pater. Oy Dilma. So in other words, is Beishamai saying that bread only covers bread itself or the paste that you put on it, be it egg salad or tuna, but it's only, the bracha of hamaitzi only covers actual bread, but no other meal type food. And he's arguing on the Tanakhama all the way. Oy Dilma, or no, he's going on the Seifa. This that it says that if a person makes a bracha on a meal type food, it's not going to cover the bread. He says, and it will also not cover this that it says that if a person makes a bracha on the papyrus, it doesn't cover the bread. It doesn't cover bread, but it will cover maisa kedera. And on that, Beis Shammah comes along and says, no, that even a maisa kedera also will not work for. And so, what is Beis Shammah's intention? And the Gemara finishes off with a teiku. We're not sure. I'm not sure what the intention of Beis Shammah is.
If it meant to question the first part or the second part, mm-hmm. Why didn't Beis Shammah put the statement in the middle then?
It was probably, a lot of times what we have is, it's a good question, a lot of times what we have is, we will allow a Tana just to finish a sentence. So, in other words, the sentence is, so we'll allow him to finish the sentence, and then we'll have the second opinion. So it's not, that wouldn't be telling exactly which way he would be commenting on. Okay, so the Gemara says, if they were sitting, so that's not considered an official sit-down. That's because back nowadays, sitting is already considered enough, because nobody leans anymore. It used to be in the day that they ate by leaning on beds. They used to lean on a bed lying over and eating like that. So that was the official way to show that we are being keveya asuda, that we are setting ourselves up to eat. That's what we're doing right here. We are setting ourselves up to eat. That's the official way they used to set themselves up. So the Mishnah said that if all they're doing is sitting, then it's not considered a kviya suda, and remela, one person can't patter up the other person with a bracha. So the Gemara wants to know, this that it says, hey sebu en, the Gemara comments, as sebu en, it's mashma specifically if they lean over, that's the way they could be kviya suda. But loya sebu, but if they did not lean over, and they were just eating, our Mishnah seems to say that loy, you cannot make a bracha one for another. The Gemara asks a question from Menuhu, from a different brisa. It says, Asara shahayu holchen b'derech, 10 people who are going on the way, afal pi shekulam oichlen mikikar echad, even though all 10 of them are eating from one main piece of bread, from one big loaf, nevertheless, kol echad v'echad mevarech la'atzmei, since they're all walking, then it's not considered a kviya suda, and memela, each of them should make their own bracha. However, yashbu le'echad, if they go ahead and they sit down to eat, then, even though each person has his own little sandwich in his own paper bag, nevertheless, they were kaveh asuda. By sitting down together, they were kaveh asuda together. And memela, one person should make a bracha for all of them. It is considered a joint meal. So katani, it states in his braisa that yashvu, they sat, even though they didn't lean. So we see that sitting is enough of a kviyas suda for one person to make a bracha for all of them. By the way, if somebody doesn't know how to make a bracha and they specifically have intent, one person to make a bracha for his friend, I think that works even if you're walking on the street. But we're talking about what's considered eating together, that it, that you should have one person make a bracha for all of them.
Most everybody's sitting and one guy just happens to be standing and he's part of the group. Still counts.
So actually, this is a big. Technically, it would work, but b'diavad. That's what I'm saying. To have intention, but this is a big shaila for. This is a big shaila for kiddush and things like that, where you know you have one person standing, and one person sitting. It's not so pashut that it works, which is why you'll notice by kiddush, some people are like, oh, they're making kiddush, and like they quickly sit on down and chair. If there's no chair, they sit on somebody else's lap or something, because. There are those who say that you need to be sitting. And by Havdalah also, some people stand. So those who stand, there's a reason that they stand, but they have to deal with this Gemara, that it's mashma. If you want to say Hakafan and have everybody yotzei, if you want to be, so then some people sit. But by Kiddush, for sure, some people are makbid specifically to sit Friday night. That's part of the minig, why some people sit by before the Hakafan.
It seems mashma from this Gemara that it's better for one person to make the bracha rather than each individual. Why is that?
Because I think they're eating together, so it's
So therefore, when you're all sitting at a meal together, rather than each individual making their own kiddush, it's better for one person to make kiddush. And the same thing with a motzi. Rather than each person making his own lechem mishnah, it would be better to make one lechem mishnah.
Right, which is what we usually do.
But not by birkas hamazon.
Right, the reason I think they say by birkas hamazon not, I think that's switched. I think the reason is because they say we can't concentrate that long. Okay.
How come that's different than when you're when someone's sick? We say it's better to pray for yourself.
No, because
it's different. It's opposite. We don't say it's better to have everyone praying for you.
No,
now
but
we're saying it's everybody.
No, because he's not. Well, he's not praying for you, right? When a person is sick, we want them to use that pain as a growth towards Hashem. I don't need somebody else to grow because of my pain. If Hashem gave me pain, it's because He wants me to grow. That's the only reason a person gets sick, so he can reconnect to Hashem. There's no reason. It's not to give parnasa to the doctors.
So you can say the same thing for eating together. Everyone has to grow by making.
No. Yes and no, because when you make a bracha for hamaitzi, I'm supposed to be concentrating. I'm supposed to be sitting there and saying Baruch Atah Hashem, and I say Amen. I get whatever you say. So now there's a question: how to get that? In this case, we're not suggesting that one person makes the bracha, the other person doesn't. Question is, everybody has to make a bracha. How do we make everybody make a bracha? Should each person mouth it, or should they have one person mouth it? So then it's better to have, if by a sick person, it was another person davening, saying the words, and I would sit there concentrating. He's like, Hashem, please help. And I'm sitting there, Hashem, please help, following along. That would be the same thing.
So when you cut the challah on Shabbos, some people just have the challah by each person sitting at the table.
Yeah.
And some people break it from the main challah.
Right.
So you're saying it's better to break it from the
main challah. Yeah, it's just sometimes if you have 150 people, sometimes it's convenient. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to have 150 people at a Shabbat brachas, wait for the main guy and then pass out the challah. So it's just, it doesn't make sense anymore. Okay, so the Gemara asks the Stira. In one price it says sitting is not considered an official Kaviyah Suda. In one price it says it is considered an official Kaviyah Suda. The Gemara answers, in that case, it was different because they spoke out, let us sit and eat together. Let us go and eat our bread in that certain place. So if you specify, okay, guys, let's sit down over here, and you find a bunch of rocks and you sit down on them, so the fact that you specified and you set up beforehand, let us sit here, that, albeit you're not leaning, is considered an official Kviyas Suda. Okay? Ginoch Navshid to Rav, when Rav died, so the students went, and they went to the funeral. On the way back from the funeral, Azlu Talmidim Basre, the students went after him. Ki Hadri, when they were coming back, Amri, Nezel V'Nechel, this is an oft-quoted Gemara, by the way, by funerals. Amri, Nezel, let us go, V'Nechel, Lachma, and Nahar Dank. Let us go and eat our bread on the river Dank. Basad Dekarchi, after they broke their bread, Yasvi, they were sitting there, they were coming by them, and they were asking, hey, Sebu Davka Tanan? This is what it says in the Mishnah, that one person should make a bracha for all of them. Was that specifically when they were leaning? Aval Yasvi, but in sitting, Loi, one, we can't make a bracha for all of them. Oy Dilma, Kevan, the Amri Nezel V'Nechel, or do we say that Misvara, it makes sense that since we said, let us go sit here and eat together, we basically set up a situation where we were Kaveh Asuda even without leaning. So they were mechavin to the teretz, but they didn't have a proof to the teretz because they didn't have the steer in the brisa. So Adama came into Amri, Nezel v'Nechel Rifta, Beduch Planisa, since we said, let us go and eat our bread, Rifta's bread, Beduchta in this Planisa, in this certain place. So Kihei Sebu Dami, it is as if we sat there. You don't have to, what happens if we were kaveh with our mouths? So Lo Yehavi B'Yadayu, they did not know the answer. So Kamar of Adar Ba'Ava, Rav Adar Ba'Ava got up, and this is why it's mentioned by funerals all the time. Ahader Kar'e La'achoyre, he had a ripped shirt on, so he switched the rip to the back, and then he ripped his shirt again. Omar, he said, Noch Navshei the Rav. Rav died, Ubirkas Mazon, Lo Gamrinan, and we did not yet learn Birkas Hamazon. So everybody has their own chat, so why did he tear again? And that's why it's always mentioned at funerals. Is Ad Da'ase Ha'hu Saba, until a elderly man came, usually that's Eliyahu Hanavi, Rama Lehu Masnisin Abraisa, and he asked them, he said, well, listen, I have a question. It says in the Mishnah, Davka Heisebu, but I have a Braisa which says Yashvu, and Vishana Lehu. Maybe the answer is like, because you said, you know, speaking it out specifically, is Kevin the Amr Nezel V'Nechel Lachma Beduch Plan, since you said, let us go and eat bread in this place, Kehesebu Dami, it is as if you lean there, and indeed your Svara, that Kviya Suda with your mouth, is indeed like Hesebu. It is indeed like you ate. So like I said, it's important to know that at least you should at least be sitting. And that's why people are makbid during Kiddush to sit. The reason why people Friday night, some people have the minhag to stand the whole Kiddush, is because they say that, you know, it's special for Shabbos and whatever, but that's also a Kviyas in that situation. But in a different situation, you have to be sitting. But I do believe the reason why the minig in a lot of people in Klal Yisrael to sit by right before Hagafen is because they want to get both. They stand for the first Vayechulu to get, you know, the Shabbos and you're standing for Kiddush. But for the Hagafen, they want to get this Gemara that you should be sitting in order to be mighty to the other people. And certainly by Hamotzi, everybody's sitting. Yeah. But it's a question. For example, when somebody's washing and they're coming to the table, so you see people like wait for them to sit down. It's not just manners, like I'm waiting for you to sit down. They have to sit down if they want to be yaitz in the bracha.
And the person who makes the bracha, if he stands to, you know, make the bracha around everybody and cuts.
Yeah, he should definitely sit. I mean, if he's standing just because he can't get to the food, that's what you mean?
Or like it's easier to cut it.
I think cutting it is fine. It's just when you make the bracha. But, so in other words, you're sitting down and then, like, the challah is over there, so, like, you lean over, you stand up to get it. Yeah, that would be fine. But, yeah, so that's why we wait for everybody to sit down. And sometimes, you know, they're just waiting and waiting. But, again, a b'dieved, it probably works anyways, if you had intention. If you had direct intention with b'dieved, it probably works. But, nevertheless, there's no reason to be into things with b'dieved. Hesebu, if somebody is leaning over, and we have echad mevarech lekulon. Once they are leaning over, though, one person should make a bracha for everybody. Amar Rav loishanu elapas deboi haseba. That's only bread that requires haseba. Aval yayin, but wine does not require haseba. Loi boi haseba does not require haseba. And memela, you can go ahead. Apparently, what Rav is saying is that they did not used to get together to have a glass of wine together, they didn't lean. However, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Yain Nami Bo Yaseba, even wine requires a seba. Ikid Amri Amar Rav Leishanu Elapas De Mahani Leyaseba. Some say Rav said that bread is the only thing that helps. In other words, you're only able to do this by bread. So if you're leaning, then, and you're having bread, then you can make one bracha for everybody. Aval yayin, even if you lean, you should not have one person be yaitz to the next one. Lo mahani le haseba. Rav Yochanan Amar, afilu yayin, nami, mahani le haseba. And, okay, let's see. The Gemara says, meisve, ketzad seder haseba. What is the seder? Is a brisa which quotes how a person is supposed to lean, and they change it on the side actually to Ketzed Seder Hasu'uda. So Orchen Nichnasin V'yoshvin Al Gabis V'Solin, the guests come in and they sit in like a waiting room on benches, Al Gabi Kit Tedrois, which is like usually a stools. How do they translate it? Chairs, a stool?
Sit on benches and chairs.
Okay. So so they sit in a waiting room. Achi Yikonsu Kulam, until all the guests come in, all the people invited to the meal have come into the waiting room, and then they will all troop into the main dining room together. They bring water, and each of these guests go ahead and wash one hand. Then they would bring each of them wine. Each person would go ahead and make a bracha by himself. Then they would get up and go to the troop into the main dining hall. The Hesebu is obviously by a rich person. The Hesebu, and then they would go ahead and lean. They would each find their own bed and lie down on the bed. Ubalahem mayim, and they would bring more water. And even though each person had already washed one hand, that's the hand that he held the goblet with, but now it is washing for bread. He would go ahead and wash both of his hands. Ubalahem yain, then they would bring more wine. Okay. Even though everybody had already made one bracha, nevertheless, echad mevarech lekulan. One person would now make a bracha for all of them. And this time, because they were leaning over, the bracha for one of them would go ahead and suffice for all of them. The reason why they have to make another bracha is because they changed rooms. They went from the waiting room till the main dining hall. And so now, the Gemara says, we see clearly that wine helps to have, you're able to make a bracha of, as soon as you lean, one person is able to make a bracha for everybody in a bracha of wine. So l'heich lishna da amar av lo yishanu ela pas de boya seba avali an lo boya seba kashereisha. According to the version that Rav said, that wine doesn't need to have haseba. Even if you're just sitting together, one person could go ahead and make a bracha for all of them. The reisha is a kasha, because in the waiting room, we see that all these guests used to make a bracha by themselves. Why? Why didn't they have one guy make a bracha for all the guests? The Gemara says, "Shiny orchem, guests are different. The daitaihu lemi akar, because there they knew they were about to get up. This is a waiting. It's specifically called a waiting room. Bishlama, if we're sitting in the main room, so we're not leaning over yet. But okay, we're not leaning over yet. But we know that this is the main dining hall. But over here, this is not only not the main dining hall, this is specifically called the uprushin hall. This is called the place where you're leaving.
like Alan's question before about the wedding, when you're a shmorg, and you know you're going to a different room for the meal, if someone washes for the shmorg, he said he doesn't have to wash again, or bench, he's continuing his meal, and that's his intention.
So you want to know... Why were they saying another bracha anyways?
Yeah, they went. They were intended to go into the big room.
I would say that here. I would say that here it's different because here the wines are coming for two different purposes. This is a good question. I'm just guessing out loud. I would say that the wines are coming for two different purposes. There's the wine in the waiting room is more like waiting room wine. And then the next wine is wine before the Suda. It's a different purpose. And therefore, you need a new bracha. Whereas, if you're in the shmorg and you're starting to eat, that's already part of your meal. And now I'm finishing my meal in the same building, in a different part of the building. So it will be covered by one bracha. It's the same purpose. That's what I would say.
You're saying now you have to recline when everyone's eating together, right?
Yeah.
So.
But nowadays we don't recline, so.
Okay, so if we have to recline, why in Pesach do we say we bring the version of Lingus in? You have to recline anyway.
Yeah.
When people are eating together, we just say you have to recline.
No, you don't have to recline.
No, different than any other.
No, because during. What you're asking. Because you didn't have to recline.
No, I'm saying when everybody's eating together and we want to be yotze, you have to.
That's if you want to be yotze, but you don't have to be yotze.
That's what we're doing on Pesach. We're eating together.
Okay, let's just get to the two dots. You don't have during the year. You don't have to. You can do whatever you want.
Right, but if you're eating together, you can't.
No, that's if you want to make a big. If you want to get one bracha together.
Well, that's what we want to do.
But who says? I mean, I don't want to. But you don't have to do it. Okay, let's get to the two dots. All right, we'll have to. I'm gonna read to the two dots just because we'll start on Sunday with a new thing. All right, so I guess we'll just continue on for a second. Shabbos.